Let's just go ahead and begin Ag Matters then. We can do that. I have a phone call coming in. Here we go. Welcome, Amy Pettit.
Good morning.
Good morning. Arthur Keyes, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Mike, how are you?
I'm good. Amy's right here. She'll take over. We're on the air.
Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic down here in Juneau.
Oh, yep. You're down in Juneau. Thanks for taking the time to call in. I know as a division director, you've got a lot of responsibilities and a lot of things pressing for time, but I appreciate you taking a minute to call into Ag Matters this morning. So thanks for that.
You know, I'm happy to do it. It's a big week down here in Juneau. Representative Tarr is hosting a Agriculture and Food Security Week, and so there's a whole list of activities going on down here right now. And that combined with regular duties that I've got going on, you are absolutely correct. It is a long, long week.
The plate is full, right?
Yes.
So just real quickly, Arthur, selfishly, I'm going to take a couple minutes to talk about Farmland Trust, and I'm going to ask for your input on a couple of those things. We're at the middle of March. And as most folks know, we've been talking about Pick, Click, Give throughout the month and folks' opportunity to contribute to Alaska Farmland Trust and Radio Free Palmer through Pick, Click, Give. So I wanted to mention that, remind folks of that. And then I also, Alaska Farmland Trust is fundraising right now for our next property that we are working on. And that's a partnership with Great Land Trust, where we are permanently protecting 74 acres here in the Greater Palmer area. And so we're in the middle of a fundraising effort that goes through the end of the month. And the reason I bring those two things up is because you, Arthur, before you were the Division of Agriculture Director, you served on the Board of Directors for Alaska Farmland Trust for many years. And I wondered, and this is kind of an unfair question, I didn't prep you for this one, but I wondered if you could just throw out a couple of comments about why Alaska Farmland Trust is important and why you care about it and why other Alaskans should care.
You know, they're not making any more farm ground, and you know, we need agriculture soils and agriculture land if we're going to feed the future generations, if we're going to provide these important jobs to future generations. You know, it's true, I sat on that board for many years, but my passion and my heart, and now I'm the director of agriculture. But my passion and my heart is in the soil. It's in the ground. It's out. You know, that's what makes me happy when I go home. And I still have a commercial greenhouse, but you know, obviously I'm not in there, you know, near enough at all anymore. But when I go into that greenhouse and I get out in the field, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. And the development that's going on or has gone on, it really doesn't take into consideration that food and that our communities in Alaska we're like food poor,
right?
And without these agriculture lands and soils, we'll have the opportunities for these future generations to come along and experience what I've experienced. They'll be gone, and these soils, they take thousands of years to develop. On my wall in my office as director of agriculture, one of the first things that I had the soils guy, the lands guy, pull up for me was a soils map of this entire state of Alaska that's been mapped. And that is prominently displayed on my wall. And anybody that starts talking to me about agriculture or Alaska, I point to that and I say, there's where the opportunity is at. And
right,
we are a land-rich state, but we are soil poor.
Soil poor.
And what that means is you can't farm ground that doesn't have good quality soil. And that map on my wall, it's pretty dramatic because we don't have a lot of soil.
Yeah, there's not a lot of bright blue spots, are there?
A lot of geology here. We have, you know, the Midwest doesn't have any mountains. All their mountains have been ground down into soil. And Alaska's got mountains. And it just, it takes thousands of years for those mountains to grind down and turn into soil and give you a rich, fertile farm ground. So,
well, you nailed it. I couldn't have,
important work.
Yeah, I couldn't have scripted that better, Arthur. So thank you very much for that reminder about why the work that we do is important. So I appreciate that. And let's jump in. So I kind of was scrolling through my mind, thinking about the things that we covered a couple of months ago when you were on the show, and thinking of a couple of questions that I could ask you. But let's start with what you've already mentioned. Representative Tarr is hosting Alaska Food, what is she calling it, Food Security Awareness Week?
Well, I think it's like an Agriculture Awareness Food Security Week, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't have the paperwork in front of me. I did get a flyer, actually. Alaska Food Security Awareness Week.
Okay.
Exactly what it's called.
Perfect. And I was thinking about that and why she might have made that effort and why she decided that that was worthwhile. And from my perspective, you know, the good news is that she did it and that people are talking about it. And, you know, anytime a person in one of these positions of power, be that a director like yourself or a member of the legislature, the governor's office, a commissioner, et cetera, whenever they start talking about food and agriculture, it's a win for the industry, because raising Alaskans' awareness about where their food comes from is good for all of us. If more people were talking about it, the better off we'll be. So that's my perspective on her doing this. You're down there in Juneau for the week. So what else do you know about that's going on?
Well, there's a lot going on. There's quite a few bills that are impacting agriculture or could impact agriculture that are working their way through the legislature. We have SB 6, which is the hemp bill, sponsored by Shelley Hughes.
Yep.
That's been a big one. Tons of support from the ag community on that. My office has gotten a lot of calls, and we have worked. We have answered a lot of questions for the representative or for the senator's office on SB 6, trying to facilitate all of the issues that are coming up with that. And now there's a. I haven't met with anybody yet, but I'll be meeting later today on it. House Bill 172, which is sponsored by Representative Harriet Drummond and Kawasaki, that's in the House, and that's I would almost say a very similar bill to SB6, but it's from the House side.
Okay.
So that's
good
cool
news
to see that support. Yeah, it's cool to see that support coming through. I think we'll start hearing more about HB 172.
I don't know if you had a chance to listen in last week to Ag Matters, but we had Jack Bennett from Hemp Solutions Alaska was our guest on the show. And yeah, that was fun. He had so much knowledge about hemp. As I said to Mike afterwards, I think he's probably forgotten more about hemp than we'll ever know. He just, what a gem. And so I'm glad to hear that that's moving forward. And I know that he spoke very highly of your staff, your agronomist, Rob Carter out there at the PMC, and yourself. Just, he was so appreciative of the support that the Division of Ag has shown for this portion of the industry that could really make a difference in the state.
Yeah, I did. I did hear the show, and you're right. He was very complimentary to everyone at the Division of Ag, and I certainly appreciate that from him. And we've worked very hard to this point on these hemp bills. So yeah, it was a good show last week.
Very good. And I, in addition to the different bills that impact agriculture, I also understand that Representative Tarr is hosting a couple of movies. I know in Anchorage Monday night, they showed the movie Alaska Far Away, the Colonist Project movie, and then maybe some Farm Bureau videos that feature Alaskan farmers. And I think that's going to be shown again on Friday evening down there in Juneau. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's going to be shown Friday at 5:30 p.m. in the legislature.
Okay, in the Capitol building.
I'm not sure which room, but I think it's the first floor in the corner. And then today, there's from noon to one, they're having a lunch and learn in the room 106 in the legislature, and there's going to be some Alaska room food there.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, I'm not sure all the activities they've got planned for this lunch and learn, but I know it's happening.
Very good.
I'm not sure how much time I have. I think I might have time to poke my head in, say hi to people, and then run, because I've got a calendar today that starts early and ends late. And there's not much breaks in between.
Well, we appreciate you being down there and advocating for this industry. I just want to remind listeners that they are listening to Ag Matters Radio. It's Wednesday morning, and our guest today is the director of the Division of Agriculture, Arthur Keyes. And I do believe we can take calls this morning. If folks are interested, they can reach us at 745-8951. That's while we're live this morning from 7:30 to 8 a.m. So we'll see, Arthur, if we get any calls this morning. You mentioned Alaska-grown food being served down there in Juneau. So we've touched on it a couple times on Ag Matters, but I'd love to hear your perspective of what happened a month ago at the governor's reception where Alaska-grown was the highlight. What were your takeaways from that event?
You know, my takeaway is that Alaskans, I think, are waking up to the fact that we just don't have the food infrastructure that they have in the lower 48, and that our situation here is tenuous and it's vulnerable, and that everything that we can do to support these Alaskan growers strengthens our food security situation, and that it should be an important part of the conversation when we start talking about, you know, Alaska, the state that we love, the place we love to live in. You know, we have got great resources, we've got water, we've got just a fantastic place to live, but our food production is really anemic, and it really leaves us in a precarious situation if something bad were to happen. Not just to mention the fact that, you know, when you buy and purchase food from an Alaskan producer, you're strengthening the entire economy.
Absolutely.
Of your community.
Yeah.
And probably there's nothing has a greater impact on the quality of a person's life than the food they eat.
Oh.
And
that's quotable. Nothing has a greater impact on the quality of a person's life than the food that they eat. Very good, Arthur. I might have to write that one down.
There you go.
Yeah, it's true, though. It is true. And I think that those are some of the other discussions that are happening about the culture of food and how different cultures treat food and how, you know, food is often the one gathering time of a family's day as they gather around food. And our big celebrations throughout the year often have a very strong food component. And if we can just get more Alaskans demanding that Alaska-grown food is part of that table, then we'll all be better, right?
I think so. The thing about producing in Alaska is there's never enough. You know, I was a big strawberry grower before I took this position as director of agriculture, and the demand is there.
Absolutely.
The demand for those berries, the demand for zucchini, the demand for onions, it's there. And I think, it's a big part of the component is demand. And now we've got to work on the supply.
Supply, you know, absolutely.
Getting more producers in there. The governor's reception in Juneau, you asked about that?
Yeah.
And, you know, I've lived in Alaska for over 40 years. And this is, in my opinion, the most exciting time in that 40 years for agriculture. Now, I remember the agriculture auctions, land auctions that happened in the 80s.
Okay.
My family was a part of that. And I think it was 86 or 7 when my family got, I think we won 160-acre parcel in one of the ag developments. And my dad was all ready to go be a farmer. And the economy fell out of Alaska, and the whole situation changed.
Yeah.
And so here we are today, 40 years later, and I think this is, like I said, I think this is the most exciting time. I've never seen more attention, positive attention given to agriculture.
Absolutely.
And I think the future is incredibly bright. I have some ideas that I'll be speaking to as I go around Juneau for how we can help young people come into this industry. I think the young people, that conversation is incredibly important. I think Jeff Fox with the FFA, I think he's doing a really good job. Have you had him on the show yet?
Kevin Fox. Yep. No, he's on the agenda for next month, actually, because April is when the state Future Farmers of America convention happens here in Palmer. And so Kevin is going to come on with a couple of officers, I think, the week leading up to the state convention. So I'm excited about that.
I think that'll be a good show. I think he's doing a really good job.
And he is.
The young people has to be part of the conversation for agriculture.
Yeah, the next generation of farmers, where are they going to come from?
Next generation.
Yeah.
You know, and are they going to be, you know, the Alaska Farmland Trust is playing a role in that, because can a young person go out and purchase a million-dollar piece of property to produce you know,
not many of the people that I know.
No, you know, that's got to be part of the conversation. Because,
absolutely.
You know, a head of lettuce is $3 and an acre of ground, of good productive ground, you know, maybe $20,000.
Yeah.
And the economics, get the calculator out and you'll rapidly figure out, oh, wow, we've got a problem here.
Well, I was just going to say, you mentioned that it's a really exciting time because of all the attention, all the positive attention that agriculture is getting right now. And I just want to touch on that because I have heard from a couple of producers that, you know, right now we have a governor who talks about agriculture almost every time he speaks publicly. He mentions local food, and we've got a great cheerleader for agriculture in you, the head of the Division of Ag. You know, you are a real farmer who knows about the struggles and what it takes. And a lot of people have been very, you know, they've spoken highly about what you're doing in that job. And then we've got a legislature that's making a point to highlight Alaska Grown for the whole week. So what a great trifecta that we have, all this positive coverage for agriculture. And it's unfortunate that this is happening during a time when the budget is, you know, under threat and, you know, needs to be reduced, I would say, as a citizen, I would point that out. But how lucky is the industry that we have so much positive support during this negative budget time? Because if it were different, if we had a governor that didn't care, and if we had members of the legislature that didn't care about this industry, and if you weren't there as the head advocate for the industry, I think things would look a lot different. So we're already halfway through, Arthur, and I feel like we haven't touched on all the things. So quickly, other topics that we talked about when you were on a couple of months ago that maybe you want to give us an update on. How about the meat plant? Can you give us an update on what's going on with Mount McKinley Meat and Sausage?
Yeah, you know, I'm happy to report that it's still up and operating. We're a full service facility that's still doing providing all the services that we were providing a year ago.
That's
and,
great.
I'm very pleased with the staff that's in there right now. I think they're doing a fantastic job, and you know, we're there. The sale is still progressing. We anticipate that being done by the end of this fiscal year, if not sooner. I'm hopeful it'll be done before then. But excited to report that's still fully operational and moving ahead.
Okay, very good.
The plant, I don't know if I talked about this before, but the plant material center out in the Butte, if your listeners have never heard of this facility, I would encourage them to, Anchorage Daily News has done a couple articles on it. I'd encourage your listeners to maybe read those articles, and if they'd be interested and they're more curious, they're gardeners or they want to be a farmer, that the plant material center, where, you know, we'd love to show it off.
And yeah, so it's an incredible resource.
Best kept secret in Alaska.
Yeah, I've got Rob Carter, the head agronomist out there, is scheduled to be on the show in mid-May, right around planting season. I'm going to have him in to talk about the importance of clean seed and disease-free potato seed and all those hot topics that the plant materials folks love to talk about. So Rob is on the agenda for about, I don't know, 2 months out, sure, or 6 weeks out. Yeah.
I think that's very good. I think it's very... very appropriate, because Alaska is a clean place. In fact, on, you know, you could say that, you know, five reasons that I have a little flyer here. Five reasons to choose Alaska Grown. Alaska Grown food tastes better. Alaska Grown food is healthier. Alaska Grown food is safer. Alaska Grown food supports Alaska families, and Alaska Grown food is an investment in our future.
Absolutely.
And on the safer portion of it, the PMC plays a role in that, because they're providing safe, clean seed, whether it's potatoes or grass, for the
industry,
for farmers,
yeah,
and for industry, for, you know, road construction and mining, they're providing this safe, clean seed, and people probably don't even realize, you know, that the importance of safe, clean seed. We have the Iditarod going on right now, and the Iditarod, they need weed-free straw,
absolutely,
for the dogs on the trail. Because can you imagine, Amy, if they didn't have weed-free straw, and, you know, you have a 1,000-mile corridor or whatever that is, and they brought in straw that had weed seeds in it.
Yeah.
And then the summer comes up, the entire Iditarod Trail would be contaminated with an invasive, potentially contaminated with invasive species that could outcompete the native habitat, pushing out wildlife and other natural species that should be there.
Yeah,
so
that's
the Plant Material Center plays a crucial role in making sure that whether it's straw or potatoes, the clean seed and foundation product is provided. So,
yeah, very, very important. You know,
they are cleaning a record amount of seed this year, 177,000 pounds of grass seed this year.
Wow.
So I hope you ask Rob about that when he comes on.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, it'd be interesting to hear the drivers behind that. Why does the industry need more seed this year than in years past? So I'll be sure and write that down and ask Rob. Talking about potatoes and disease-free potatoes. You know, I grew up on a farm and my family always had a big garden, and I'd like to think, you know, I have an ag business management degree, and I'd like to think that I knew a little bit about this industry, but I am one of those people that didn't know how important it was, the disease-free potato issue. And, you know, I think a lot of people have had a bag of potatoes in their pantry that, you know, started to sprout. And you look at those sprouts on the potato and you think, oh, I could plant those. And then I could have potatoes, you know, in my backyard this summer. And I just want to go on record as saying how important it is that people not do that, that they never plant table stock potatoes, potatoes that they've bought in the grocery store, that's not what they're designed for. And Arthur, it's kind of an unfair question to throw at you, but do you want to touch on that just briefly about why that's, why we can't have people doing that and why it's so important that they go get certified seed potatoes?
Well, I can tell a little story about that. I was speaking with a retired state agronomist. This is a little while back. And he told me a story about a gentleman calling him that had done exactly that. And he had planted his table stock potatoes out in his garden. And he called the state agronomist because there was a problem. His garden wasn't producing anything. And so the state agronomist went out there. I think it was in Chugiak,
okay,
if I remember correctly. And so the state agronomist went over there and took a look at the garden. And, yeah, there was a big problem. He took a sample and took it back to the lab, and they tested it. Well, the table stock that the gentleman had planted was contaminated with a disease that there's no cure for.
Uh-oh.
There's no treatment. And his ground, what the agronomist told me, is that ground, that garden that the gentleman had, will never produce any potatoes, and maybe other crops too, but he said certainly potatoes. It will never be viable for potatoes again.
Yikes.
In perpetuity, because it is now forever contaminated with a disease that's in the lower 48.
Oh, so these were even outside potatoes that he had brought in. Oh, even worse. See, now I'm one of these people that never buys outside potatoes, so at least I wouldn't make that mistake. If I planted table stock potatoes, at least they'd be Alaska grown, right? But that's still not something that we want people to do, right?
You don't want to do it. And if someone were, and I think we hear about this happening a lot, is where someone gets a call from a friend, Lord, and says, hey, I've got a potato, I've got a plant, you've got to try.
Oh,
and so
yeah,
they just ship them something up, and you're importing a whole host of problems. Alaska is one of the cleanest environments in the world.
Absolutely.
For agriculture production. And, you know, there's a reason when you go on vacation into Hawaii, there's a reason they scan your luggage. They make you fill out a legal form about what you're bringing or not bringing into
sure.
the state.
Yeah, I grew up in Oregon. In Oregon, and every time we cross the border down into California, same thing. California, they stop you and check your car and make sure you're not bringing anything in. So, yep. So don't plant table stock potatoes. Make sure you get certified disease-free potatoes, which, if I'm not mistaken, the Division of Agriculture usually in the spring puts out a list of the certified seed potato producers across the state with contact information. Isn't that right?
Yep. You can call us, and we will give you a list of people that have got certified seed for sale.
Very good. Very good. Okay. Well, again, just one last reminder that this is Ag Matters, and our guest this morning is Arthur Keyes, Division of Agriculture Director. We've just got a little bit of time left. If anybody has any burning questions, there's still time to call in at 745-8951. And Arthur, you know, we don't have a ton of time left. So what other things did you want to throw at us about what's going on with the division or down there with the legislature, et cetera?
Well, I have something that I think is kind of cool that I want to just share, and I don't know where it's going to go, but I think it's kind of cool to talk about.
Okay.
You know about peonies in Alaska.
The peonies
in Alaska that we produce
yep.
are on a different cycle than the rest of the world.
Yep. They bloom later. Yep.
they bloom later. And so I had a meeting with Fred Meyer's perishable buyer from Oregon. She was up here for the grand opening of the new Palmer Fred Meyer store.
Okay.
She came to my office. I called her and set a meeting. She came to my office, and we started talking about, you know, all the things that she represents. And one of the things that she represents is flowers.
Okay.
And as soon as I talked to her about Alaskan peony flower, you know, that we had this opportunity, I saw some excitement there. And so it's not just, you know, we're thinking food, agriculture, food.
Yeah.
There are other agriculture opportunities that are outside of food. And I think the peony opportunity, I think, you know, we shouldn't forget about that. So I'm excited to see where that goes, see if Fred Meyer's may start purchasing peonies from Alaska's producers for sale in Alaska stores.
Wow.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be incredible. I know that, you know, I know there's a lot of demand for the peonies that are produced, but usually that's for, you know, the highest quality buds and flowers go to the brides and the bridal designers and the flower shops, and the grocery stores are typically looking for kind of the next layer down. I mean, they still obviously want very high quality flowers, but their requirements aren't quite as strict. So often growers have more flowers of that quality. So to have a retail outlet such as a grocery store for their flowers would be pretty incredible.
Yeah, it'd be for the opportunities. It's just another opportunity.
Yeah.
For producers.
So you brought up Fred Meyer's, and since we're reporting here from Palmer, we can't go without mentioning the new Fred Meyer here in Palmer and kind of the incredible effort that they went to during that grand opening to highlight Alaska grown, right? I think they get a little credit for that.
They did. I think I saw three farm tractors, one in the store, two outside of the store, with displays built all around them. Yeah, they did a fantastic job.
If I'm not mistaken, Alaska grown potatoes are still on sale over there at the outlet. My husband came home with a 10-pound bag of potatoes, which is not normal for us. We usually buy the smaller amounts and he comes home with this big 10-pound bag, and I was like, what is that? And he was like, they're on sale for $1.99. You can't beat it. And so hopefully a lot of people got their potatoes for the next couple of weeks during that sale.
They've done a very good job of promoting Alaska grown. Yeah, it's exciting to see that development come into Palmer. When I met with the Fred Meyer, the buyer for Parrish, you know, she just made a comment. She goes, "They want to be Alaska grown, and they're not making any, they're not holding back."
Yeah,
so very exciting.
You know, two weekends ago, you and I were down in Homer at the Statewide Farmers Market Organizers Conference. You were kind of the keynote speaker, and I was a guest speaker. But one of the things that came up that I mentioned then, and I have to mention it again, is that people don't realize the power of the consumer, and that, you know, yes, Fred Meyer made an incredible effort to highlight and showcase Alaska grown products there at the store. But the reason that Fred Meyer does that is on the consumer. It's because the consumers are asking every time they're checking out and every time they're walking through the produce aisles and throughout the store. It's because the consumers continuously ask for Alaska grown that Fred Meyer knows they have to showcase it, they have to highlight it, and by doing that, you know, the customers will or come to the door, right?
Yep, absolutely. The produce managers know that the produce managers are going to hear what the people are thinking, and that's going to make it to the store managers, and that's going to make it up to corporate. And certainly, it's going to take, you know, it takes time for your comments to make it all the way up to the person that's really going to make the decision. But in my experience in talking to these people is that the comments do have an impact.
They matter.
So,
yeah.
Look, ask why.
That's right. And a reminder that if every Alaskan shifted $5 a week of their spending towards Alaska grown products, it would have a $188 million impact on our economy. So that's my little challenge to folks every time I have a mic in front of my face, is to say, you know, do your part and choose Alaska grown. And $5 a week is easy to do. And it really, really can make a difference.
Less than a dollar a day.
Yeah.
It's incredibly, you know, it's so simple, and it would have such an incredible impact on the entire state.
That's right. Well, Arthur, I have to say thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedule down there in Juneau to be with us on Ag Matters this morning. And I just heard the Palmer whistle blow, so our time is up. Any closing thoughts before we say goodbye this morning?
No, just I appreciate you having me on, Amy, and I appreciate all that you're doing. I think it's fantastic.
All right. Thanks so much for being our guest on Ag Matters, and we'll talk again.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, it was a great, great show, Amy.
Yeah, a little update about all things Alaska Grown with the Division of Ag.
All right. Yeah. And next week, you have a
preview. Next week, we've got Mark Austin from the Muskox Farm is going to join us to talk about what's going on there. And then the following week is Rochelle Plummer with the Matsu Farm Co-op to talk about egg production in the Valley.
All right. Well, yeah. Thank you very much for coming in again today for another edition of Ag Matters.